Welcome to Extreme Faith with Dr. Gerard Curry, Senior Pastor of Christ Family Church in beautiful Port St. Lucie, Florida.
The Lord woke me up at 2:44. You're laughing. I woke up at 2:45, but she carried on sleeping. I went downstairs. And my poor dogs, the first time they've been out so early in their lives. And at 2:44, and I went downstairs and I started to just pray and let the Lord give me what he wanted to give me. And I started thinking of something that Brother Hagin said. And I'm sure you'll remember this, Glenda. Brother Hagin used to say, you can have faith in your heart with doubt in your head. You can have faith in your heart with doubt in your head. And do you understand? That's such a true statement. It's saying, because think about this. If you consider the doubt and you meditate on the doubt and you entertain the doubt, it's going to get in your heart. Now you've got a problem. But everybody gets temptation. Everybody gets tests. It's what you do with them. He also said something else that I loved what he would say, is that you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them making a nest in your hair. And that's the way it is. You know, the word of God is very clear. He says, you've got to take thoughts captive. You've got to take them captive. Because I don't know about you, but I've noticed they persist. Have you ever noticed? You know, the lie will come from the enemy. And you might get a pain in your wherever. And all of a sudden, he comes and says, heart. And you cast it down. But he ain't done. He's trying to see who will outlast who yet. And you've got to outlast him like David outlasted Goliath. And outspoke Goliath and said what he believed and trusted in whom he believed. You see, it's one thing to have faith, but too many people get puffed up in their faith. My faith, great faith. Paul says, don't be high and mighty about your faith, because unto every man has been given the measure of faith. Don't let it puff you up. It's not your faith, even though Jesus said to the woman, with the issue of blood, when she came behind him and held onto his cloak and got healed, he turned and said, woman, your faith has made you whole. It wasn't her faith that made her whole. Her faith has to be in something or someone. It's where your faith is. Her faith was in Jesus as a healer. You see, it's not your faith that heals you, it's Jesus that's the healer. But your faith is the avenue by which you get the healing. So don't ever, because what happens is people, they kind of leave Jesus aside and they go with their faith. And they think it's their great faith doing all these things in their lives. It's not, it's Jesus. It's always only Jesus. And so you've got to watch out, even when you get into a place of great faith. Because I'm doing a series on Wednesday nights on the gifts of the Spirit. And Pastor Joey, that's one of his favorite subjects. In fact, I must speak to you about coming and doing one Wednesday night for me. We'll have to arrange for your prison team. He was telling me now last week in the prison ministry, shout out, how many people gave their lives to the Lord?
20
people gave their lives to the Lord. A faithful man and wife like you've never seen in that prison all the time. I mean, every week, consistently leading people, telling them about Jesus. And he's on fire. My God, he's on fire. And it's wonderful to be with people like that, because you can't talk to him about anything but God. I like that. Don't you like it? But we can't let our faith get ahead of us, and that now we don't need God anymore. You need God. You can get 20 every week. You need God, because he's the one who saves them, not us. But you've got to have faith in him. You've got to have faith that he's got the healing virtue and he's desiring to heal you. In actual fact, he has healed you 2,000 years ago. You understand? And so we can't get puffed up in our faith. We get puffed up in God, in Jesus, Jesus Christ. He's the healer. He's the deliverer. He's the restorer. He redeems us. Amen. And let me tell you something. You couldn't have even got saved without him giving you faith to get saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Ephesians 2:8, right? It's a gift of God. I mean, I was so dumb and so stupid that I thought I was perfect and everything was good in my life. And for 25 years in a church every Sunday, I heard so much and I didn't hear anything. Things were spoken, but I didn't hear a thing. And I thought I was good to go. And then God, through his mercy and his compassion and his grace, pursued me. And he apprehended me. Let me tell you what, God doesn't give up on you. I don't care. You can be the worst sinner on the planet. God is after you. He wants, the Bible says, he wants not that one should perish. Not one. My brother on his deathbed, who followed Confucius and all those crazy theories and stupid stuff, to us, the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. But to us that are being saved, it is the power of God. He thought it was foolish. But the day they wheeled him into the operating theater after his first and only heart attack he ever had at the age of 62, he was being wheeled in by the doctors, and my sister was standing there, and he said, "Give me the phone. Give me your cell phone." She said, "What do you want the cell phone for? You're going to be operated on now. Everyone's here. Everyone knows everything." He said, "No, I've got to phone Jesus." And he never came out of the theater. He received salvation on the way in. And let me tell you what, he was a bad dude. God is after us. He will not relent. I'm telling you now, he will not give up on you. And his mercy is on you every single day, every single morning. Just when you think, "I've overdone it this time," his mercy is back there to take you on another journey. You understand? And so I was such a perfectionist, so full of pride, so judgmental and so stupid. But people were praying for me. And I thank God for my friends and my family praying for me. My mother and father and granny. They were praying for me. And they were praying for me. Until they managed to get a gap inside of the cobwebs here. And the Holy Spirit managed to get the word, a little bit of word in there, through someone that he had sent to me who'd been working on me for a year. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 125, "The entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple." I was so simple and I was full of darkness. But the word of God came through somebody that God had sent and orchestrated through prayers of family members and people that had gone to be with him already. Through their prayers, he orchestrated to get someone I'd never known in my life to meet me and for a solid year pray for me and tell me about Jesus every day. Amen. Until he got that gap. I was a hard case, like most of you. Yes, amen. I was a hard case. But the word came in, shone. And then I realized in Galatians 2:20 later, "I've been crucified together with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." You see, it's his faith. Don't get puffed up in your faith. People get mixed up. They get the gift of faith or gift of healing or gift. It's very different to operating in faith on a daily basis. When the gift comes on, you've got nothing to do with you. Do you understand? And I prefer to have faith on me because I can do anything all the time. The gift comes and goes as the Spirit wills. Right, Pastor Joe? As the Spirit wills. And then what happens is they get the gift of healing and all of a sudden people are getting healed and now they start selling prayer cloths. Or telling you, "If you put $1,000 into my house, your house will be paid off in a year." And so they don't recognize where and what is happening. They don't recognize who's doing it, how he's doing it, why he's doing it. They just see other things because the word's not getting in. You better be in the word. You better be in the word on a daily basis, every one of you, because these end times, we are rapidly fast approaching the final trumpet. There's going to be a blast and it's going to be in the spiritual realm. And those that have got spiritual ears are going to hear it. And shush. And this is not Dr. Zeus or Mickey Mouse. This is the deal. This is the Bible. You just, and this is it. So my notes are gone. Here we go. But I've got to show you a picture. I was going to talk about getting healing. Okay, just get my picture. You've got to see. I love the picture. So I thought you might like it. Get the picture up for me, the first one. And look at that. Sit, stay, heal. God wants the dogs healed as well. How many of you got pets? Do you love them? Do you ever pray over them? I've got to continue to pray over mine. The bathroom is over there. Lord Jesus, show him the bathroom is over there. You can pray for your pets. But healing takes place. And you know, these end times, I'm telling you, we are rapidly approaching the end times. We have never seen it lining up the way it is right now. I mean, I'm watching Putin and Russia making alliances with Syria. It's the first time in history the first time in history this has happened. Making alliances with China. That's a first. That's a first. And we know that the Bible says in the end times, when there's a 200 million army. Think about 200 million coming against Israel. And they're going to come through the Euphrates, which is going to dry up to let them come through. God's word will be done. God is sovereign, but he's sovereign over his word. You understand? He is a sovereign God, but he's sovereign over his word. He said, if you're willing and obedient, then. So if I do what his word says, then I'll get what his word says. You understand? And the word works for whoever works the word. It's as simple as that. And we've got to recognize that Jesus is the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. John 1 and verse 14 says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We need to understand where everything comes from. Look up, your help draws nigh. It comes from heaven, it comes from above. All good and all perfect gifts comes down from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God is only light, always light, can never be dark. And if God said, then he did. Amen. And we are fast approaching these end times. I want to encourage you. Start learning the word of God. Get into the word of God. Because the Bible says, if it were possible, even the elect are going to be deceived. And I'm seeing churches being deceived left, right, and center. People that confess God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such get away. That's what the Bible says. And Jesus said, look, I'm coming back. And I'm coming back soon. He's looking for his bride. The groom is ready to come. I'm telling you right now. And if you're born again, you've got the robe of righteousness, your wedding gown. You've got the garments on. So when he comes, you're going with him. Amen. But let me tell you something. He's looking for faith. He's looking for faith. When he comes, will he find faith? Will he find you standing and believing in him? You got to know the word. I'm telling you, you have to know the word. There are people, he said, before I come, there's going to be a falling away. He's not talking about the world falling away, because they're already away. They were never anywhere to fall from. You understand? He's talking about a falling away in the church, amongst the people of God. And you're seeing the churches, what they're doing right now. I mean, just coming against Israel is ludicrous. How can you come against Israel when you're a child of God, and especially when you're a minister? Never mind all the other stuff that they pray for. Amen. The times are coming. And I'm telling you, you better start learning the word of God. I'm giving you a warning today. I'm giving you a stern warning. Now, you might not like me for this, because you want to hear about healing or how to make money. But you will find out about that next week. All right? And you know, I told a pastor friend of mine, very staunch Baptist, I said, I spoke on sex the other day. Oh my God, you didn't. Have you done that in church? I said, of course. I'd rather they learn from me than from Playboy.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Extreme Faith. To hear this message in its entirety, log on to ChristFamilyChurch.net or join us for our live services on Sundays at 10 a.m. in our beautiful Tradition Town Hall facility.
On Saturday, April 20th, Exponential Church will be holding our annual Easter Bunny Bounce at Tradition Square in Port St. Lucie. The square will be filled from end to end with bounce houses, cornhole, snow cones, popcorn, and you can get your picture with the Easter Bunny. And all of it's free. Yep, free. So bring the whole family and your friends to the Easter Bunny Bounce, April 20th at Tradition Square, from 11:30 to 2:30. For more info, head to expochurch.com.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Welcome to Enjoying Everyday Life with New York Times bestselling author Joyce Meyer. On today's program, Joyce will be teaching from the book of Galatians. What if everything you did was done by faith? What if you woke up each morning and said, God, I need your help today? This is one of the most important prayers you can pray. It means you are allowing him to take control of your life and trust him with your daily needs. There's nothing in life that we don't need help with. And the book of Galatians is about learning to live under grace. Living under God's grace is not about having the freedom to do whatever we want. It's about overcoming the trap of legalism and learning to be led by the Holy Spirit as we seek to live for him. Now, here's